band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half. And instead of suitcases, they packed all of their earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved and everything they knew. They knew they would never return home. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries. He set sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. When Milne packed his coffin, he knew there was a good chance he'd be buried in it before long. For 35 years, he lived among that tribe and loved them. When he died, the tribe buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. It said, "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness."
Would you guys pray with me? Almighty Lord, I just like to ask that you bless this time as we take a look into your scripture and we unpack our message for the day. Open our hearts so that we can hear from you, Lord, and be touched by you. And allow us to be receptive to your Holy Spirit in this place and challenge each of us in whatever way we need to be challenged. I pray these things to your glory and honor. Amen. So just so you know, we will be recruiting one-way missionaries at the end of service in the back for all those who wish to pack their coffins. For many of us, this idea of packing up and shipping across the world is the most intimidating thing that we could ever possibly do. And this story of these missionaries that did this is the worst thing God could ever ask of us. For those of us that have calls into ministry, like myself and Pastor Philip, when we got called into ministry, part of that discernment was figuring out what a life of ministry looked like for us. Was that a life of ministry here in the United States? Was that a life of ministry someplace else? I at one time felt that I was called to go into South America, and my dad quickly made a phone call to get me a summer internship in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, so that I would not go to South America. I don't know, maybe it's because he knew I couldn't speak Spanish. He just didn't want me that far away, whatever it was. But God very quickly affirmed my call as I sat in the sticks of Alabama, which could have easily been the mission field as I lived in the middle of lumber country, Alabama, where people drove golf carts instead of cars. But for many of us, this idea of just packing up and leaving everything we know, leaving our family, leaving everything, is the worst thing God could ever ask. But God did that for so many missionaries. But I want you to think about, for this one who took this risk and went to a place where every other missionary before him had been martyred after all these years. He had no idea how long he was going to live with these headhunters. And in his death, they wrote on his tombstone, I mean, listen to these beautiful words. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. I mean, is that not the most beautiful thing? I tell you, I hope that's something they say about me many, 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 many years from now when they have my funeral. That that's something they can say about my life dedicated to God. Now, I hear people in my small group and stuff, people say, no, Pastor Faith, it's easy for you to have a life dedicated to God. You're a pastor. That is your job. Every day to get up and go to the church and work in the church office and just work for God every day. But this morning, what we're going to talk about is that this is not something that God only calls for a few of us. He calls for all of us to live lives for him, no matter where we are, no matter what we do. We are all called, but we don't have to leave our homes and our families and sell all of our belongings and sell our homes in order to do that. Believe it or not, you are living in the middle of one of the number one mission fields in the world. Did you know that other countries send missionaries here? to the United States of America. That makes me a little upset, actually. It makes me want to go to those missionaries and go, how dare you send missionaries to my country? Do you think we can't take care of our own people? Do you think your missionaries can care for our people better than we can? We are Americans. We can take care of ourselves. But obviously we can't. Because they're sending missionaries. Because we have become so unchurched here that they are sending people from other countries to help spread the gospel. Because our country is one of the number one unchurched countries in the world today. We don't have to pack up and go someplace else. All we have to do is become missionaries in our own neighborhood. We don't have to go sail across the ocean. We can do it right here. So the good news is you don't have to sell your house. You don't have to quit your job. You're living in the mission field. Our scripture passage today was from Psalm 84. And Psalm 84 says, "For the Lord is our sun and our shield. He guides our path and he protects us. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who does what is right." He's looking after us. He's caring for us. He is protecting us. But friends, just because he is looking after us and caring for us and protecting us doesn't mean he wraps himself in a box to keep us safe. That would be no different than us laying in a coffin. If God just locked us up in a box. He is not promising us this safe little life where we never do anything. He wants to put us out in the world. He wants to send us to do great things. And sometimes that means taking risks. Sometimes that means making sacrifices. And that missionary that left his home and went to those headhunters had no idea how long he would be there. He didn't know if he would be like all the others. And maybe he would have survived 1 year. But he knew however long he was there, he was following God and it was worth it. And he was willing to take the risk on God. Because nobody is bigger than God. If you're going to take a bet, then why not do it on God? You know, I'm kind of reminded of a story. The rich young ruler. He was asked to take a bet from the book of Matthew. You know, and he comes to Jesus and he talks to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, you know, I've been doing everything. I've been following all the commandments. I'm a good person. I'm very strict to the law. What do I need to do to have eternal life?" And Jesus, after having a conversation with him, looks at him and he says, "If you want to be perfect..." Now, listen, this idea of being perfect, this doesn't mean be saved. Jesus is not saying if you want to be saved, if you want to be perfect, if you want to go all in, if you want to hold nothing back from God, if you want to be 100% walking with God, then this word we use in the Wesleyan tradition is called, if you want to be entirely sanctified, walking with God 100% every day, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But this young man, he couldn't do it. You know, I've always looked at this story and I've always had such mixed emotions about it. I always wondered, did Jesus ask too much of this young man? How did this young man feel? I mean, I just always felt so wrapped up about it because I just felt so bad for him. I mean, we don't know how old he was. We just know he was young. But Mark Batterson talks about the story and he says, think about it for a second. This man could have sold everything and used all of his resources for the kingdom of God. Batterson says he could have leveraged his resources, his network, and his energy for the kingdom. Imagine what this young man could have done if he took everything he had and followed Jesus and used it all for Jesus' mission. The 12 that followed Jesus, they were all poor. They had nothing. If this man had become a disciple of Jesus with all of his resources as a very rich man, imagine what he could have done. But he was so worried about being everything in everybody's eyes In addition to raising what he needed to raise for his wealth, it seemed like he was worried about what people thought of him. He couldn't do what Jesus asked, even though he went to Jesus to find out. But think about this. I imagine Patterson goes into these what ifs. I mean, just imagine the idea that this poor young man probably had those words of "follow me" haunting his mind for the rest of his life. What if I had done as Jesus asked me to do? What if I had taken that opportunity? What if I had agreed to follow Jesus and I had been on the front lines and witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000? What if I had been with Jesus and I witnessed the lame walking? What if I had witnessed the dead coming back to life? What if I had witnessed the blind being able to see? What if I had witnessed Jesus arguing with the people in the temple? What if I had witnessed Jesus healing people without even knowing it? As that man, my guess is he probably followed Jesus' ministry. And all those things he heard, just imagine he could have been there for it all. I bet it tore him up inside. But that's the thing, isn't it? We don't have a crystal ball. We can't just look at it and say, if we trust God, everything's going to magically be okay. If I take this step that God's asking me, I'm going to be safe and I'm going to be good and everything's going to be fine. We don't know that. God asks us to do things all the time and we don't know how it's going to turn out. Patterson defines faith by saying faith is pushing all of your chips to the middle of the table. And I might even add, when you don't even know what your hand of cards is. You don't know how the game's going to end, but you're just putting everything you have on that hand because God is the one that you're playing with and God's telling you, you got to put it all out there and you're saying, all right, God, I'm going to do it. And sometimes it's scary and sometimes you don't know where life is going to go. You know, I had this moment this weekend when I realized sometimes you just got to go for something even though you don't want to. And we decided Friday we were going to go paddleboarding. It was a gorgeous day. It was so pretty outside. And we were out on Okaloosa Island. And we had taken a break and gone over to the beach for a little bit and just rested. And while we were sitting there, the wind started kicking up. And we're like, oh, man, we got to go back. The wind is blowing right from where we have to go back to. We're going to have to paddle straight into the wind. So we start paddling back. And as I paddle, Abigail did not want to get back on the board. But I looked at her, I said, we don't have a choice. We got to go back. The car is that direction. Like, we got to get back to the car. So she's sitting on the front of my board. Now, granted, the child's 40 pounds. So you add an extra 40 pounds on the board and you're paddling into wind. You know, it's hard. And I'm not the strongest person in the world. So we're paddling and the wind's pushing me away from shore and I keep getting farther out, which also means that the water is rougher as I get farther out. And I keep saying, Faith, you got to get closer to shore. You're getting into deeper waves. And I keep trying to get closer to shore and I can't get there. And next thing I know, I'm paddling and going nowhere. I'll tell you, friends, I had like the worst flood of emotional train going for 10 minutes. I started with, I'm just going to sit here and cry, to, I am so angry that we went paddleboarding. Who in the world decided we should go paddleboarding? This is the worst idea in the world. To, come on, Faith, you have to keep going. You got no choice but to get ashore. And I just keep looking at the wind and looking at the water going, you got to keep paddling. You got to keep paddling. You've got no choice but to go. But I tell you something, I didn't make it back to shore by myself. Because eventually help came back and took the 40-pound child off my board so that I could paddle in. And what I realized from that is we can't go all the distance God wants us to go against the wind and the waves by ourselves. Because I wasn't strong enough to do it by myself. I knew I couldn't give up. Because if I stopped paddling, I would have literally gone backwards. I may not have been going forwards, but I wasn't going backwards. And every ounce of my physical body said, just stop. But my brain knew I couldn't. I had to keep going. But if we do it alone, we don't have any help. We have to have others to come alongside us and help us. And we see that all through Scripture, that the church worked together at what they're trying to accomplish. And if we're trying to come at all of this on our own, we're never going to get through it. But when we come at life together and we tell God, okay, I'm going to try to do what you want me to do. I'm going to try to keep moving forward. You got to help me do what I'm going to do. But we come alongside others, then when the wind starts blowing at us, we're going to have people to help us and to lighten our load so that we can keep moving. You know, the book of James tells us that our life, we don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow. It's like a fog. It's just here and then it's gone. Because this life that we're in is so short. But the life that we're going to live with God, our eternal life, it's worth everything we go through on this earth. Because our Father is eternal. Our life with Him is eternal. And we can work for His eternal purpose now so that we can do everything we can to honor Him in that life. So when we look at this idea of making sacrifices and doing things for Him in this life to serve Him here, the question is what are we doing now? I want to leave you with a last quote from Batterson to think about. And he says this. He says, the gospel costs nothing. We cannot buy it or earn it. But it demands everything. Once we take it, once we join God in the journey of the gospel, He asks everything of our life. To give Him everything that we have and to not hold anything back. And this is the thing, it's not a one-time decision. We have to keep moving forward. And we have days that we feel like we're not moving anywhere. And that's okay. But we just have to keep going. As we go about this series, my hope for you is that you find a moment that you say, yes, God, I am moving. I am going someplace. I'm not just treading water. I'm not just sitting here fighting the waves. I am moving forward. I am going someplace with you. I am giving you more of my time. I am giving you more of my days. I am making my job important. I am making my life important. I am making my home important. It's about taking all that we do and giving it for God. You don't have to change your job. You don't have to rework your entire life. All you have to do is take everything you do now and give it to God. If you work on base, then dedicate everything you do on base to God. If you raise a family, then take everything you do for your family and give it to God. If you're retired, then say, everything I do in retirement, I'm going to give to God. And say, everything in me is for God. That's what this whole series is about. Because we have to say, God, this is my mission field, and I'm willing to give it all for you. It's all or nothing. It's now or never. One of the phrases Batterson used over and over and over in his book that I love, and by the way, if you're not reading this book, you got to read it. It's a really easy read. I love easy reads. And it's an amazing book. But one of the things he says is, if God is not our Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. And friends, I believe that with all of my soul. That we have to give Him all that we are if we want Him to be our Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, I want so much for you to be my Lord of all. So this morning I ask that you help me to give you more. Help me to continue to move forward. And on the days when that's hard, I just ask that you give me the strength and the support to do that, because I can't do it alone. I ask that you help my brothers and sisters to do the same, to draw in closer to you. And show us this morning, Lord, how we do that. So that we can be the people that you want us to be. reaching out in the community that we are. And Lord, allow us to not let anybody else come into our community and save our people, because we are the people of Shalimar, and we should be the people reaching out in our backyard. I pray these things in your heavenly name. Amen.